Welcome to episode 543 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This is day 10 of our special series, 12 Days of Christmas. What do you want for Christmas? Alvin and the Chipmunks sing that all they want is my two front teeth. Mariah Carey has a whole album filled with Christmas songs, but All I Want for Christmas Is You, an upbeat pop song complete with jingle bells, is her most enduring. Co-written and co-produced by Carey, the song was released as the lead single from the Merry Christmas album on October 29, 1994. But as I mentioned, this song has had lasting appeal. So much so that it hit number one on the Billboard charts at the end of 2021, 27 years after it was originally recorded. Due to the song's lasting impact, including the fact that it has earned tens of millions of dollars in royalties, Carey has been dubbed the Queen of Christmas. The song describes the singer not caring about the usual material aspect of the holiday season, such as ornamental lights, trees, snow, and presents, as long as she is with her lover for Christmas. Go on social media and do a quick Google search, and it will be easy to find countless lists of gift guides, gift suggestions, or trending lists of popular gifts. All people want this year for Christmas includes items like rechargeable hand warmers, mini pocket projectors, or Uggs. Data from Statista's Global Consumer Survey found that when asked which gifts UK respondents would personally like to receive, the most popular option across a total sample was money. Christmas celebrates the birthday of Jesus. So what does Jesus want this Christmas? We can see the answer in his prayers. What does he ask God for? The answer to that question can be found in his longest prayer in John 17. Here is the climax of his desire in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. Among all the undeserving sinners in the world, there are those whom God has given to Jesus. These are those whom God has drawn to the Son. John 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 65, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. These are Christians, people who have received Jesus as the crucified and risen Savior and Lord and treasure of their lives. These are those who recognize their need for Christ and who seek him out. John 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus says he wants these seekers, those who have repented, those who have embraced him, to be with him. Sometimes we hear people say that God created man because he was lonely. So they say God created us so that we would be with him. Does Jesus agree with this? Well, he does say that he really wants us to be with him. Yes, but why? Consider the rest of the verse in Jesus' prayer. Why does Jesus want us to be with him? Second part of John 17, verse 24, to see my glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. That would be a strange way of expressing his loneliness. I want them with me so they can see my glory. In fact, it doesn't express his loneliness. It expresses his concern for the satisfaction of our longing, not his loneliness. Jesus is not lonely. He and the Father and the Spirit are profoundly satisfied in the fellowship of the Trinity. We, not he, are starving for something. And what Jesus wants for Christmas is for us to experience what we were really made for, seeing and savoring his glory. This is what Jesus said would occupy the attention of his people in heaven, to behold the glory of Jesus. There must be something so deep, so enthralling, so vast, the glory of Jesus, that it can occupy the attention of God's people in eternity. This glory was given in the context of a love relationship, and a love relationship extending into eternity past. This tells us that before anything was created, there was a love relationship between the persons of the Godhead, the Trinity. Even if Jesus had not specifically told us this, we might have understood it by other biblical truths, understanding that God is eternal and that God is love. There was never a time when God did not love and was not love. Genuine love must have an object outside of itself to love. Therefore, love existed between the persons of the Godhead before anything was created. The triune nature of God is not only spiritually correct, it is a logical necessity, given what we know of God through his revealed word. But that is only half of what Jesus wants in these final climactic verses of his prayer. I just said that we were really made for seeing and savoring his glory. Is that what he wants? That we not only see his glory but savor it, relish it, delight in it, treasure it, love it? Consider verse 26, the very last verse of this prayer. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. What is Jesus' final goal for us? Not that we simply see his glory, but that we love him with the same love that the Father has for him. That the love with which you, Father, have loved me may be in them. Jesus' longing and goal is that we see his glory, and then that we be able to love what we see with the same love that the Father has for the Son. And he doesn't mean that we merely imitate the love of the Father for the Son. He means the Father's very love becomes our love for the Son. That we love the Son with the love of the Father for the Son. This is what the Spirit becomes and bestows in our lives. Love for the Son by the Father through the Spirit. The context of Jesus' prayer is his impending arrest, torture, and execution. Even through this experience, he will continue to speak and act only according to the will of God. This was, in fact, part of his purpose in being sent by God the Father. A major theme of Jesus' teaching on the night of his arrest is godly love. This concept of love, in fact, is meant to be the hallmark of Christian faith. That love leads to unity, grounded in sincere obedience to Christ, demonstrating his truth to the world. Jesus received love from God the Father, and this love relationship was the strength and sustenance of his life. Here, concluding his great prayer, Jesus prayed that the same love that was his strength and sustenance would fill his disciples, both near and far. This speaks to the essential place of love in the Christian life and community. Jesus thought it so important that he specifically prayed for love when he might have prayed for many other things. You see, take love from joy and you only have hedonism. Take love from holiness and you have self-righteousness. Take love from truth and you have bitter orthodoxy. Take love from mission and you have conquest. Take love from unity and you have tyranny. Jesus prayed that his disciples would not only be filled with the love of God the Father, but they would also know the indwelling presence of Jesus himself. Mariah Carey was onto something when she sang that all she wanted for Christmas was you, but she had the wrong you. She was onto something when she expressed a preference for love over material gifts, but she was pining for the wrong love. All I want for Christmas is Jesus. All I want is to have the love for Jesus that the Father has for the Son. With such a love, not only will I have a deep connection with God, but also experience incredible, life-changing love, mercy, and compassion for others. I want that. Do you? Father, by the power of the Spirit, empower us to so live that ultimately we will see the glory of Jesus and then savor that with the very savoring that you have for the Son. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.